Welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, New Jersey's first and only pro-Second Amendment talk show, where we talk about guns, the shooting sports, and protecting your most valuable assets, yourself and your family. I'm Sandy Berardi.
And I'm Master Trainer Anthony Colangelo.
And together, we share the how-tos and what-fors of legal, responsible, and safe gun ownership, especially in the dangerous and crowded urban environment we live and work in. We answer questions and give advice. We talk about the news, current events, and issues that are important to gun owners. And we do it all from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain, in the shadows of the New York City skyline. Welcome to a very special Gun for Hire radio episode. In the studio with us today is attorney Scott Bach. Scott is the president of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, an NRA board member, and a staunch New Jersey Second Amendment advocate. Right, Ant?
Dan Schmutter said it. Evan Knappen said it. No one works harder in the state of New Jersey than Scott Bach for our gun rights. Everyone listening, we owe him a tremendous amount of thanks for his tireless efforts. He fought Gun a Month back for 5 years, Scott?
Yeah, just about.
Just about 5 years, tried to prevent it, and then there was a last-minute little switcheroo and scheme that got through while he was sleeping at night.
Actually, we were awake and there at the time.
Aye. But 5 years he fought that nonsense law, and we lost it, and now he's fighting to get it back, amongst other things. We all owe Scott our thanks and gratitude for everything he's done in New Jersey, believe it or not, even though we live in a, you know, police and nanny state.
It could be worse.
It would be a lot worse if we didn't have Scott Bach on our team.
Absolutely.
So without further ado, Scott Bach in the house. So, Scott, how'd you get into this Second Amendment mess?
Oh, me personally?
Yes, personally.
Oh, boy. Well, I grew up in New York City without guns.
Mm.
And somewhere along the line, I had an incident, as you know, Anthony, on a hiking trail in New Jersey with my girlfriend about 20 years ago that led me to want to buy a handgun. And I did buy my first handgun in the early 1990s. And then, as you know, I sought out training and I was bit by the bug. And then I became
His instructor.
He was. Anthony Colangelo was my first NRA certified instructor. That's... I bought my first handgun. I said, this is deadly serious. I want to get the best training I could. I found Anthony and I hired him. And I actually got him to also train my mom as well. But I then became what I call a closet gun owner in New Jersey, just going about my career as an attorney, not really talking about it, wanting to just be below the surface. And through a series of other circumstances in my life, came to a point where one day I said, I do not want to be on the sidelines anymore, and I'm going to shout my beliefs from the rooftops. And I began dedicating myself to Second Amendment advocacy. Within a couple of years of that, I actually was on an NRA committee and a state association board member, and haven't looked back ever since. But basically, it was a series of personal events that just led me to first become a gun owner, and then when I saw how I was demonized just for engaging in a constitutionally protected lawful activity, at some point in my life, I said, that's it, and I dedicated myself to the cause.
Can you give us some insight, Scott, on what's going on in New Jersey now? Because, you know, a lot of listeners are frustrated. A lot of listeners blame the NRA for not doing enough. I get pissed off because I say if we had 300% more NRA members in this state, maybe the NRA would pay more attention to us rather than just 300,000 people sitting home on their couch watching Dancing with the Stars complaining the NRA doesn't do anything for them. So maybe you can lend a little insight and direct us on what we all need to do and to help what you're doing.
Absolutely, and thank you for that. Here's the big picture in New Jersey. For the last 10 years, we have had an entire state house that's controlled by people who hate guns. That means both houses of the legislature.
How many years has this been?
Well, by the time I've been involved in this, about 11 or 12 years, we have essentially dealt with a hostile state house. All three, you know, the state senate, the state assembly, and the governor's office have been hostile to us for about that period of time. And the situation historically has been they could pretty much steamroll anything they wanted over us. And although there's a lot of gun owners in New Jersey, We live in a very populated state, and we live in the shadow of liberal New York City and Philadelphia. So even though there's a lot of us, we're greatly outnumbered. And so it's proven difficult to try to take back control in the state house. So that's what we've lived under up until the gubernatorial election of a couple of years ago. Okay, under Corzine, we were attacked on a daily basis.
Now it's just weekly.
Actually, it's different. Okay, although, Governor Christie's position on guns is not well known, and he's not really focused on the issue. I can tell you the attacks from the governor's office stopped. Okay, so we know that about him.
So that helped.
Well, it's a huge help. We've gone from being constantly on defense.
So should I take back what I've been saying about him?
No.
No.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I think you should say what you want about our attorney general.
He's been doing that.
Who has proven herself greatly, greatly, not to be our friend. However, so where we're at right now is for the first time in 10 years, we're not on defense. We're not on offense either. We're in this weird situation where right now we have a governor's office that's not out to get us. We have a state assembly that is controlled by anti-gunners. Mm. We have a state senate that's controlled by anti-gunners, but the senate president, Steve Sweeney, who's an A-plus rated Democrat, one of the few in the state of New Jersey, is actually pro-gun and has said he doesn't plan on introducing any gun legislation anytime soon. So we're kind of what
like,
I would...
Like we need more? There's room for more? I don't know.
Maybe we should have Sweeney on the show.
There's always room for more in the Garden State.
State crazy, baby.
Absolutely. Garden State, look, there's really only one law that is needed to control gun crime, and that is a law that says that anyone who commits a violent crime with a gun gets locked up and you throw away the key, no early parole, and no plea bargaining. That's the only law you need. But what we have are a bunch of feel-good legislators in this state who demonize the tool, okay? And it's an endless process. No matter what you do to that tool today, there's always something you can do tomorrow. You can serialize bullets. Mm-hmm. You can micro-stamp ammunition. You can have smart guns like we have in New Jersey. We have a smart gun law that exists on the books, but it's never taken place. But, the situation we live under has historically been hostile, and folks around the country don't really understand that.
Right.
Texas is the only state in the union where you can use lethal force in defense of property.
Yep.
Okay, most other places you can only use lethal force in defense of lethal force, not in Texas. In New Jersey, it's questionable whether you can use lethal force in defense of life.
All. Yes.
It's a crazy state.
Yes.
So,
wow.
Not only that, the whole game in Trenton is rigged.
Tell us about the rigged game, Scott.
Well, okay. Everything in, gun owners ask me all the time, well, why don't these legislators understand you? If you obviously aren't making the argument well enough to them because they're not responding to the argument. And the answer is they don't respond to logic or common sense. They respond to politics and they respond to leadership. And the way everything works in our state house is the leadership of the state house tells the legislature and the committees and the committee chairman what is going to happen. Oh, so leadership is everything. Okay, the leadership decides what bills will get put into a committee and moved. Leadership decides if, for example, they want a bill to move through a committee and they don't have the votes. Believe it or not, in New Jersey, they can remove a couple of committee members and put in pinch hitters who will vote the way they want.
How do you like that?
I will tell you.
Oh, my God. And you've seen this happen.
Well, not only have I seen it happen, I'll tell you a story.
You get to this story, we're coming up on a hard break. And then when we come back, we're going to hear how Huey Long would have really envied the state of New
Jersey. If this doesn't tick you off and want you to join the Association of Rifle and Pistol Clubs in the NRA, I don't know what will.
Exactly. We'll be right back.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing. which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Lipstick Bodyguard is available at all Gun for Hire locations and events. In New Jersey at the Bullet Hole Pistol Range in Belleville. And in Tom's River at Just for Nurses Boutique, 47 Route 37 East between Main Street and Hooper Avenue. And coming soon at lipstickbodyguard.com. Okay, and we're back.
Guess what? I didn't fall asleep during that break because Scott Bach got me pissed off.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
You are ramped up, baby.
I'm pissed off. Scott, tell us about this now, this ploy, this scam, this scheme that we deal with in New Jersey.
Well, here's just an example, okay? A couple years ago, we happened to be down in our lobbyist's office in Trenton before a hearing. I think it was on the 50 caliber ban. Which we have defeated every year it's come up.
Thank you for that.
And we were in our lobbyist's office, and it just so happened the chairman of the committee who was going to hear this bill like in an hour happened to be in our lobbyist's office attending a reception for another client. And our lobbyist, you know, came over and introduced us, and we talked about this bill a little bit, and the committee chairman said, you know, this is the craziest bill. He says, I'm not going to support this. We're not going to vote this through. An hour later, the committee voted it through. Okay, and he voted for it and apologized to us and said, you know what, I'm really sorry, I didn't know, but I got a call from leadership and basically was told I had to move this through.
You know what?
If he did what he wanted to do and didn't follow what leadership did, he would lose his committee chairmanship. And so that's how the game works in Trenton. The system is rigged, and I will tell you that how do you deal with a situation like this?
Yeah, okay? How do we deal?
I'll tell you how, okay? And this has been, you know, if there's any contribution I've made to the Second Amendment cause in New Jersey, it's this. At some point in time, I said, I don't care what the odds are, okay? We're going to plant our feet, and by sheer force of will, we're going to find a way to deal with this. And that's exactly what we've done. I can't reveal all my techniques, but when all the odds are stacked against you, there are things you can do. You can inject chaos into the legislative process. Oh. You can create self-doubt among legislators. You can...
I like where this is going.
Play one card at a time. And I'll tell you what, when you can't achieve something through legislative means, you can use the courts. And that's one thing the association has done. It's been extremely aggressive about achieving its goals. If it can't go through, around, under, or over the legislature, we'll take it to the courts. And we've done that in a big way over the last 5 or 6 years.
And that's why we need help. You know, I mean, that's why it's very important that people do get involved and vote a little bit with some of their money. Like you say, it's a box of ammo, for God's sakes. You know,
to join as an associate member is $40 a year. I mean, that's two boxes.
Yeah, you don't have to buy into the range.
No, you can just be an associate member of the association, Rifle and Pistol Clubs.
Not only that, but you know, one of the little known things about the association is we have lawyers on retainer.
It's incredible. It is little known.
We answer our lawyers will answer questions from legal questions, brief legal questions from members for free.
For 40 bucks a year.
For 40 bucks, you can have a lawyer answer your questions. It's unbelievable, and it's I mean, that alone is worth the price of membership.
I get my lawyer on the phone in the morning. I say, "How you doing?" It already cost me $200.
Correct. And I can tell you, Scott, he does not sleep. He's constantly fighting for our rights. He's on top of every bit of legislation or crap that comes across the state of New Jersey.
Well,
and
it really is a war zone here. I mean, that's what a lot of people just don't understand, especially people who are hiding in the closet, like most of us did before we got involved in this. What's one of the main reasons that we decided to do this, you know, goofy radio show is because
nobody has. We are really becoming the voice of New Jersey, and you're seeing it.
You know, Scott, before we have to answer some questions, we have about 900 questions. We're debating having Scott on the show maybe once a month or so.
That'd
because
be great.
We're getting inundated with questions. If you can find the time, we're working on a call-in segment and everything where you might be able to just call in. You don't have to come down and look at our faces. But
he would appreciate that.
What can we do? What can the average person in New Jersey? Now, we're approaching 30,000 people listening to the show. Hopefully, it'll double or triple. Hopefully, when we announce you're on the show, we'll get all the people that belong to the association and that don't belong but have name recognition. What can the average New Jersey and law-abiding citizen do to help you in your fight? Tell us.
Okay, first thing, one person can make a difference, and that is the first and most important thing every listener needs to realize is that the power of one is not just one. It's the power of all. For every person that steps up and speaks out and makes a difference, that effort is magnified and amplified. There are tens of thousands, actually in New Jersey, hundreds of thousands of gun owners in the state. So the first thing is our biggest enemy is apathy, the feeling that, system's too big, it could steamroll me, I cannot make a difference. And I will tell you, if you are committed, one person can make a difference. Now, what can you do? First thing is you have got to vote. Okay, everybody says it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. This November 2011, every seat in the state house is up for grabs.
Every seat.
So we need to start rallying right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every single seat is up. You will see the association and NRA will put out ratings and endorsements in September or early October, giving you our take on candidates. There are a few districts that are going to be critical in the fall. But the first thing is you, your friends, your family, get out and vote. It makes a difference. This is an off-year election, which means there's going to be low turnout.
But in a low turnout
election, there's an opportunity for us because the situation I described at first, which is that there's a lot of us, but that we're greatly outnumbered. Well, we have more voice in an off-year election. So every vote that we get in an off-year election is like 100 votes the other way. So your vote, for everybody who's listening, really, really counts. And if you can multiply and amplify that vote through friends, family, and everybody else, great. The other thing
is buddies at the range, too. I mean, if you're shooting with a guy who's not registered to vote, drag his ass over and get him registered.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's one of the biggest problems is, you know,
by
the time
you think
of
him. If he's dead, you could drag him over. Oh, no, the liberals do that.
Chicago.
The liberals do that. That's right.
It's already being done.
Sorry.
You know, this is the first election when felons were able to vote. That's
correct.
But we won't go there.
Other things you can do, obviously, include joining organizations like the Association of Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, NRA. The work that we're doing requires money. That money, I mean, and it's a team. It's not one person. I mean, Anthony, you're part of a very important team that is doing this good work in the state. And so joining these organizations and supporting them is important. Also, to sign up for our email alerts. You can do that online. Even if you're not a member, you can sign up for free with the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. We will tell you when there's something going on in Trenton that needs you to call in. Let me tell you something. It makes a difference. You know, a lot of people get these NRA alerts and go, I'm not going to call in. We hear it from the legislators. Okay, they're not used to getting hundreds or thousands of phone calls, emails, faxes, et cetera.
Especially from New Jersey gun owners.
Yes, and when the heat is on, okay, and in a committee meeting, okay, and all of a sudden the switchboard's lighting up and they're feeling the pressure. Let me tell you something, it registers with them and suddenly they're not so cozy doing their middle of the night deals. So those are just some starters. And again, most important thing, you can make a difference. Okay, if I hadn't stood up at some point in my life and said I'm going to pop up above the radar and put myself on the line, you know, I mean, if anybody, take an example from that. One person who decides that I'm going to dedicate myself to this can make a difference. So get out there, do it. And I'll tell you what, the momentum is in our favor here. I mean, we've achieved a huge amount over the last 5 to 7 years in terms of our clout in Trenton. Believe it or not, Democrats now, they're a little frightened of us for the first time in a long time.
Fear is good.
Some of them actually call us before they float a bill because they don't want to get those thousands of phone calls.
So that means we are making some impact.
You know what upset me and as a voter is that both of my assembly critters and my state senator voted for one gun a month. And it really ticked me off. And the problem was, who do you vote for then? You know, do you vote for the lesser of two evils? In my point, I vote every single time, and I did not vote. I did what they did. I abstained my vote.
All three of his legislators were Republicans, and they all voted
and
in
they're
favor
all Republicans.
Of Gun Month.
And they're and I live in a very heavily Republican district.
Okay, the first thing is, who was your state senator, out of curiosity?
Kane.
Okay, that must have been the first vote, because I will tell you what happened, and it didn't pass the first time. In fact, it came up 3 or 4 years. We defeated it every year until 2009, when Senator Fred Madden from South Jersey flipped his vote in the middle of the night after he cut a deal with then-Governor Corzine.
We're going to try to fix that this November?
Oh, yeah. Okay. But, but bottom line, when it actually, that time that it passed, we actually achieved something historical, and that is not one, the entire Senate Republican caucus in the state held together and didn't deliver one yes vote on one gun a month finally. So, you know, so here's the point. Well, now, what do you do? You know, you're going to have an election coming up. You're not going to have a choice. You know, at that point, I would say if your vote in your district, if it's a choice of lesser of two evils, you know, vote for the lesser of two evils. But that just means you need to contribute your effort in some other way. It means you need to join an organization. It means you need to make sure to weigh in with your legislator.
So they do get to change their mind.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
The emails, the phone calls, do the legislators respond better to a handwritten letter delivered to them? Does that carry more weight?
Sure. By far, the most effective form of communication is a handwritten letter or fax that is sent in, because what that suggests is that somebody cared enough to take the time to physically write something out, spend money for a stamp, and send it in. However, it all makes a difference. If all you can do is make a phone call, or if all you can do is send an email, go ahead and do it. But it's better not to use form emails that are sometimes suggested.
Yes,
okay.
Sure, yes. Yes.
So you know, if you're looking at a form email, better to try to rewrite it in your own words.
Yeah.
Bottom line, mail in their hand or a fax in their hand with a handwritten letter is the most valuable. But in the end, when the pressure is on and we're trying to push an issue, it becomes a question of volume at that point.
Okay. Yeah,
they respond to sheer volume. They're not even always looking in depth at the content. They just want to know, okay, I got 500 letters that are against this thing. You know, what am I going to do?
So nothing's stopping me from writing a letter, writing an email, and then making a phone call.
Absolutely not, and you should.
So our legislators don't vote on principle and educated decisions.
No,
they just vote on polling. On numbers,
except for a few.
Okay.
There are a handful. I mean, legislators in New Jersey fall into several categories. One of them are people who are principled, okay, and they will respond to arguments.
Minority category.
Very, very minority category. Another are those who will vote however leadership tells them.
And, pimps.
And then the other category are people who really are indifferent. They don't really care either way. They're just not educated on the issue. That's another minority.
Loafers.
That's another minority category as well. Those
freeloaders.
People, those people are convincible, but by far, they do it because leadership tells them, and that's what they want done. And so that does not mean that you don't put the arguments out there. And we put the arguments out there in a big way. We put them out there before the media. If they, you know, I mean, the big thing is they lie about what these bills do. Like, for example, on the 50 caliber ban, okay, they supposedly were targeting the 50 BMG, which is one particular round, okay, which shouldn't be targeted to begin with. But the legislation they proposed would have banned every 50 caliber projectile,
nice,
including inline muzzle loader, okay, firearms.
Drive-by muzzle loading shooting.
It happens with the bayonettings that happen. Yeah.
Including flintlocks and muskets that won the Civil War and the American Revolution.
Sandy wrote copy that we're fighting on the same soil that blood was shed for the freedoms that we're fighting for again today.
Well, they said, no, it doesn't ban all this. That's not true. And we showed up actually at a committee hearing with 100 different rounds of 50 caliber ammunition, including shotgun slugs, by the way, that would have been banned. And then, you know, before the full legislative vote, we hit them, you know, with a list of hundreds. You know, we embarrassed the heck out of them by pointing out that the very freedoms that won, you know, the very guns that won the freedom we have as Americans would be banned.
Yes. Good angle.
And we're coming up on a heartbreak. So when we come back, we're going to get onto my favorite subject of propaganda. We'll be right back.
With With over 25 years expert knowledge and experience to help you select the perfect firearm, the Bullet Hole has one of the largest firearm selections in the New York metro area, with over 300 handguns in stock. You'll find all the major brands, including Glock, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Kimber, Sig Sauer, and Springfield Armory. And if you're looking for a hunting or tactical rifle or shotgun, they have an extensive inventory of top brands like Benelli, Bushmaster, Remington, and a full line of police equipment and shooting accessories. And the best part is, you can shoot there too. The Bullet Hole has a 10-port, state-of-the-art, climate-controlled indoor range and is the only indoor range in the New York metro area that can handle anything from handgun to high-powered rifle. The range is bright, clean, and safe with full-time, helpful, certified range safety officers and an air scrubber filtration system, like breathing mountain fresh air, and a large selection of range ammo at really great prices. There's even a full-time gunsmith on staff, and you can even get your New Jersey or Pennsylvania hunting licenses. The Bullet Hole is on Rucker Street, across from the main Gun for Hire campus, less than 10 miles from Manhattan. And if you're a law enforcement officer or armed security guard and need to qualify, just drop by any Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. No appointment necessary. Find out more on the web at bulletholenj.com or just follow the link from the gunforhireradio.com resource page. The Bullet Hole, North Jersey's gun authority for over 25 years. Come see Manny, Jen, or Jennifer and tell them you heard about them on Gun for Hire Radio.
Okay, we're back. Before the break, we were talking about...
Still not sleeping, by the way.
Yes, I see that. That's very good. That's, you know, this is a record. You made it through three
breaks. Well, look
breaks.
Who's in the house. I have Scott Bach in the house.
That's very true.
He's one of my heroes.
That's very true. And he's a lawyer. He'll sue your ass.
Sue me for sleeping during his show.
Exactly right.
It could happen.
It could happen.
See?
You know,
just
this is Jersey. You know, I have a good friend who is a trial lawyer who said, you live in New Jersey. It's not, are you going to be sued? It's just when and for how much.
Nice.
You know, which is very good. We were talking about the propaganda. The anti-gun industry, I'm going to call it, spends a tremendous amount of money, is funded very, very well through organizations like the Joyce Foundation, who pays Hollywood writers to write scripts that are anti-gun, who pays for so-called scientific studies to be done by certain professors of ill repute who would lend their services to proving that whatever claims they make are true. We unfortunately tell the truth. And we're too stupid to lie.
You included me in that week?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking.
I know. I'm being kind.
All right.
And I think that the answer is not for us to start fabricating statistics like the 90% number that changes to 70%, that changes to 80%, depending upon what week you're in, of guns that go down the iron highway across the border. What can we do to fight the propaganda? I mean, can we call editors in the newspaper? Can we say, hey, you know that story you just ran or so-and-so just ran on the shooting that happened? Because it's insidious. It's not blatant. I don't know whether it's just the fact that the reporter is not educated or whether it's the fact that it's absolutely deliberate that they're making these little tiny adjustments in stories.
Well, it's pretty much both, okay? I mean, reporters, anybody who's ever been interviewed by a reporter, okay, and you see what you say and how it turns up knows that very little of what you see in print is actually representative of what was said.
Exactly.
Okay, but... I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, the other side has spent millions of dollars working up messages that resonate with people's emotions, that create fear. The press just soaks it up unquestioningly and represents it to the public. The key in this issue is to reach people's hearts and minds. And the other side, I have to say, has been for those who are, for lack of a better word, weak-minded or are easily led, who just believe what they hear.
And it's not their fault either, Scott. I mean, they're out there trying to make a living. They're getting their news from sound bites. They're just being fed this crap systematically.
Well, we need to be better with our rhetoric, okay? We need to be better with what we say. What I will say is my observation, being a Second Amendment advocate for, I guess, coming up on 12 years now, is, number one, everything I have ever said publicly is based in truth. Mm-hmm. First thing is, I always do a reality check. I make sure it is grounded. We have the high ground.
Yes.
The problem is a lot of our issues are complicated. They're technical.
Yes.
On
yes.
the issue of right to carry, for example, okay, the other side is saying, oh, there's going to be shootouts in the streets. Do you want armed people walking around secretly? Okay, people are going to pull out their guns when there's, when there's a traffic accident. And then you say, well, if you look at all the FBI statistics in 1,045 counties over 16 years, it shows that violent crime drops 6 to 10%.
Yeah.
When you can't do that. What
right.
you have to say is something like, you know, should a woman in a parking lot be prevented from defending her life when
and
a
her
rape,
child's life
and her child's yeah. life when she is confronted by a vile, evil savage? Okay, you need to hit him back with the same yeah. rhetoric. They're both grounded in truth. You need to hit both logic, truth, and emotion. And that's very hard. On the one gun a month issue, that was a tough one because our arguments, when you boil them down, they were logical. They required you to explain a lot of things.
Yeah.
And in the end, we had to boil it down to, you know, you shouldn't be rationing a constitutionally protected right.
Right.
And a whole host of other arguments. But the rhetoric issue is a toughie. The other side definitely has the upper hand on that for now. Yeah. And if you look at the rhetoric that comes out of NRA, and rhetoric's the wrong word, I would say the messages that come out of headquarters, NRA headquarters. When you look at Wayne LaPierre's speeches and Chris Cox's speeches, there is a lot of power in them because they have the kernel of truth in there, and they're extremely well-crafted. All of us can learn a lot by studying those and listening to them and figuring out, for anybody who's going to be trying to convince somebody of something in this issue, you have got to make more than just an intellectual argument. You've got to find the kernel of truth that
yeah.
resonates in somebody's emotion as
right.
well.
Arguments are one based on emotion. The people that the Joyce Foundation are reaching through their spokespeople, they're reaching them on a very guttural level. And their argument for one gun a month was, well, who needs more than 12 guns a year?
Right.
It's not the question of need.
Powerful argument, though,
yes,
on their
it
side.
Is.
Yeah.
But let me
yes.
flip it the other way. Who needs to read more than 12 books
right.
in a year?
Or speak publicly,
right. more than 12 times. How would we take that? How would the same people who were so willing to throw the Second Amendment under the bus feel if we took the Fourth Amendment and said, no, I'm sorry, now we can kick your door in? Just because we feel like it.
Mm. I'm sad to say there are places in this country where that sort of thing is starting to happen right now, and it's a pretty
yeah.
scary thing.
Oh, yeah.
It sure is.
My argument that I use all the time with gun people with right to carry is we have surrounding states, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, three states surrounding us. Connecticut doesn't touch us, but it's close. They have right to carry. And, you know, the argument is, well, it's going to be shootout at the OK Corral in New Jersey if we have right to carry.
Take a look at what's going on in reality there.
I mean,
you know, the fact that I can carry in Pennsylvania, but I can't carry in my own state is lunacy, because I drive across. I tried to explain this to my wife one day. As we had to stop at the border while I disarmed myself mm-hmm. before I drove into Camden, New Jersey, the crime capital of the freaking world. So here I am getting out of the car, unloading my firearm, putting it in a locked and fastened case in my trunk with ammunition in a separate locked and fastened case so I can drive home.
That's the insanity of New Jersey gun law. It demonizes the tool,
yes.
not the criminal.
Yes, not the criminal.
And like I said before, there's really only one law we need to address gun crime, and that is you commit a violent crime with a gun,
you go
to jail, and
yeah.
that's it. Listen, some legislators think they're doing a good thing by passing these laws, but other legislators just don't like the fact that law-abiding citizens
yeah.
can have guns, and they use the justification
yes, I think
okay,
that's,
as an excuse.
Yes, I think okay? you hit it right on the head.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's anybody's guess what motivates them, but the bottom line is that the conditioning has been accepted by a lot of these legislators. They just do what they're told. They don't think about it. I mean, it's why the country's in the shape that the country is in, to be quite honest.
So we have to vote the bums out, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, and hopefully have better bums to put in.
Yeah. Listen, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how New Jersey gun laws got to be as oppressive as they have.
Nice.
We'll be right back.
One, two, ready. go.
This portion of Gun for Hire Radio is being brought to you by Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
I got a lawyer, that's not everything. I got a lawyer, and he's on my side. Me and my lawyer, we can kick your ass in court. I got a lawyer, if I pay him on time.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire Radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Scott, how did we get into the mess that we're in as far as a set of gun laws that would rival the Manhattan phone directory?
Bottom line is we were asleep at the switch when these laws were foisted on us in the 1960s. With all the assassinations and things that happened in the 1960s, there was a national movement toward gun control. The 1968 Gun Control Act came in, but a couple years before that was the 1966 New Jersey law.
When New Jersey burned.
And, you know, we were all a bunch of gun clubs. Yeah. You know, there was no NRA ILA at the time, no Institute for Legislative Action. And it was kind of a stealth thing that caught up with us. Unfortunately, the laws that were passed missed the entire point. I mean, if you want to look at how New Jersey gun law works, it's really very simple. New Jersey gun law begins by banning everything having to do with firearms.
You hear that, New Jersey citizens?
Everything is banned with limited carve-outs. So that means possession, ownership, transportation, transfer.
All banned.
Okay? And those limited carve-outs are subjected to opinions of police officers
and
departments at will.
Yes. Well, yes and no. There are guidelines, but they're pretty small guidelines. They're very stingy, narrow carve-outs. So everything's banned with exceptions. Like, for example, gun owners in New Jersey have to live within, they're called exemptions, and they have to live within those exemptions. If you fall out of those exemptions, you're a criminal, and you could go to jail for up to 10 years, which is what happened with Brian Aitken, the fellow moving from Colorado who wound up with a 7-year prison sentence and got a governor's commutation of sentence last year.
But it's now a mandatory prison sentence, isn't it?
Yes, for quote, unlawful possession of a handgun. The minimum sentence is 7 years. The maximum is 10.
In state's prison.
Yes. And,
nice.
And, you know, some people say, well, if it's unlawful possession of a handgun, if you're possessing a handgun illegally, you should go to jail for a long time. Well, the problem with that is, let me just give you an example. If you want to go to the shooting range with a handgun, okay, if you have to stay within the exemptions, and the exemptions say you have to go directly to or from the shooting range. So if you have a handgun in your trunk on the way to the range and you stop for food or fuel, or if you're having chest pains and want to stop at the hospital for medical treatment, the moment you stop, you're outside the exemption because it's no longer direct transportation.
Now
you're unlawfully in possession and subject to those prison terms.
Wow.
Now, that's how New Jersey gun law works. There's no, classic examples. There is no exemption for temporary transfer of a handgun inside the home.
So we talked about this.
Your handgun to your spouse, you both committed a terrible, terrible crime that could put you in jail.
So the guy who breaks into your house gets off on a plea bargain, and the two of you end up going to state's prison for a vacation.
Absolutely. So that's the insanity. Now, in the light of Heller and McDonald, okay, the big Supreme Court decisions that firmly established and clarified once and for all.
Can you explain those? I know
sure.
that there are plenty of listeners who do understand what that what those cases mean, but there are plenty of new shooters who don't.
Well, let me give it from a New Jersey perspective.
Okay.
There's a famous case in New Jersey that held that two things. Number one, the Second Amendment doesn't apply in New Jersey.
Nice.
And number two, it's not an individual
nice.
Right. Okay? That it's a right that belongs to the state militia. And basically, you know, in the last several hundred years, most of the Bill of Rights has been interpreted by the courts and has been settled. The Second Amendment is one of those few things that was kind of left gray, and the Supreme Court didn't really weigh in on them. And so what happened is you had these two – you had the anti-gunners develop this fantasy that they tried to perpetuate through the courts that that the Second Amendment was intended for a time, you know, when, you know, it was limited in time. And what has happened is it's really in light of the fact that we now have National Guard, the National Guard's replaced the citizen militia. Therefore, it's a right that belongs to the National Guard, not to the citizen. OK, so it's not an individual right. OK, and then they developed this other theory that even if it is an individual right, it comes from the Constitution, so it only applies to federal territories and doesn't apply in the states. And there is actually a New Jersey case from the 1960s called Burton versus Sills that says those things. And so the little dirty secret here has been in New Jersey law up until Heller and McDonald. There technically was no Second Amendment in New Jersey, and we owned firearms as a privilege granted by the state.
Ooh.
Well, that has been the state of affairs. Now, the Heller and McDonald cases... Yeah, it seems like a very simple proposition, but what they established is, number one, the right to own, keep, and bear arms is a fundamental individual right like the First Amendment that belongs to people, not to the militia, not to governments. It's an individual right of citizens. The McDonald case established, okay, now that there's that right, it established the scope of the right, which means the right applies everywhere from sea to shining sea, not just in federal territories. So it took all these... a couple of hundred years to firmly establish that. And that was by a vote of 5-4 in the U.S.
Ooh.
Supreme Court. So that's a whole other subject.
Yeah,
we discussed that already.
So it's earth-shaking in New Jersey because what that means is the entire underpinning. Now, Burton versus Sills was the case that challenged the crazy New Jersey scheme that passed in the 1960s and when, it, you know, that I just described where it bans everything with carve-outs. Well, Burton versus Sills was upheld. And the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear it. So that's been the law of New Jersey. Well, now we have Heller and McDonald that have basically swept the legs out from under Burton versus Sills. So now what we have is a set of laws that were passed at a different time under a different set of presumptions that have now been thrown out. And so basically the entire New Jersey gun control scheme is up for grabs. The problem is that the Constitution is not self-enforcing. Okay, and in the absence of action, it's not going to everything. The world's not going to automatically change because
Heller.
And it's up to us. And that's one of the things the association has spearheaded in New Jersey. We've been very aggressive with litigation, and we're going to get more aggressive. Is we started with right to carry. Okay, we're challenging New Jersey's insane right to carry laws because it goes to the very heart of Heller and McDonald, which is self-defense.
Right. I am no longer able to protect my life if I walk outside of my home.
Yes. And what Heller and McDonald ultimately protect, what they say is that the fundamental right that's being protected by the Second Amendment is the right of self-defense. And the means to protect that right is through the right to keep and bear arms. So, you know, free speech is the right to free expression. When it comes to the Second Amendment, the right to defend yourself is at the core of it. And firearms or the right to keep and bear arms is the way you get there.
And it has nothing to do with the right to hunt.
Nothing whatsoever to do with that. That's an ancillary part. Mm. It's not about sporting purposes. It's about the fundamental right to defend yourself against or to defend self, family, and country.
But our attorney general doesn't see it that way in New Jersey, correct?
No, and that's a great point. In our case, the attorney general, who really is the one we should be finding fault with right now, the attorney general has basically said that the public needs to be protected from people who carry firearms.
And law-abiding citizens, and certified law-abiding citizens.
And wow. She's taken the absolutely outrageous and unsupportable position that Heller and McDonald only protect the right to keep and bear arms inside the home.
Oh, so now I am no longer a citizen. I am a serf.
Now, is she a lawyer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She
has to be. How do you get to that
attorney
position?
General?
Yeah. How do you get to be an attorney general and a lawyer and not really be able to interpret Heller and McDonald?
Well, that's a good question.
Seriously.
It's a good question we should ask our governor.
Can we bring Paula Dow in? Can you get her on the guest list?
We could put her on. I don't know if she's going to come in.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she will, but the bottom line is lawyers are trained to argue two sides of any case. You can always twist and contort an argument out of any set of facts.
I do that in my relationships.
What Paula Dow is doing is essentially saying, well, in the Heller and McDonald case, the Heller case dealt with somebody keeping firearms in the home. So the holding of that case, the decision, because the facts involved somebody keeping firearms in the home, the narrowest reading is all Heller did was establish that inside the home it's okay. And her position is, well, until the Supreme Court says it applies outside the home, we can say whatever we damn well please.
Mm.
Okay? And, you know, Anthony, you ask, how can the Attorney General do that and how can lawyers do that? It's because that's what they're trained to do. And unfortunately, these people have an agenda. They don't want to go there. They don't want to follow where Heller and McDonald naturally are leading. They're going to resist it every step of the way. And when we win on this right to carry case, that's when the fun's going to begin, because we're going to have to rewrite New Jersey's carry law. That's going to be a legislative and political fight, because the state is going to try at that point to do everything it can to come right up to the line of what it can get away with.
Like they're doing in D.C. and Illinois
Chicago.
Correct. Absolutely. Gerrymander the
zoning laws, so you can't open up things and you can't do this, and you can carry except for 5,000 feet around a school or a post office or a church or a library or the local bodega.
So Heller and McDonald, all it did was give us another 10 years of work, but some hope.
Well, it's more than hope. I mean, yes, but it's the fight is not over. The fight's just beginning. We're looking at 10, basically Heller and McDonald sketched the outer limit of what the Second Amendment covers. And it left a universe within that limit yet to be explored. Every issue in gun rights is going to have to be litigated. Right to carry, one gun a month, smart guns, ammunition encoding. All of those are going to have to be treated eventually, and it's going to be slow and painful litigation. And let me tell you, the clock's ticking, because not everybody who's bringing these cases is motivated for the right reasons. There's a lot of defense lawyers out there who will do or say anything because they're representing a particular client. They're not just doing it for gun rights reasons. And the other thing is, with a 5-4 slim, thinnest possible majority in the Supreme Court, if we
lose,
it's a heartbeat away is exactly right.
I've gone on record saying Obama is going to get reelected, and the scary part is, if he does, we're looking at losing one or two Supreme Court justices.
You anger me every time.
I'm sorry. Well, plus, we're going to lose lower court judges.
You want a reason to vote? Well, guess what? U.S. Supreme Court justices have to be confirmed by the United States Senate. Okay, and we have this. You know, we're not quite where we need to be with that. Yeah. You think your vote doesn't make a difference? Let me tell you something. It directly makes a difference to the future of the Second Amendment on that basis alone.
I mean, if you're a gun person and you're not a voter, I don't know what to say.
Well, look at how many quote-unquote gun people voted for the Obama administration.
How many gun owners in this country and only 4.5 million members of the NRA?
That's pathetic.
So
it is pathetic. And I think with all the stuff that's going on right now with the, quote, under the radar stuff and the Justice Department running and blaming ATF for Operation Fast and Furious and the UN now, for the first time in history, we are now siding with the UN to try to disarm us. They're doing everything they possibly can, because the anti-gun industry is that. It's an industry. There are thousands and thousands of people who make their living to take our rights away.
And they're unfolding a 10 to 20 year plan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's like grinding through. They're not stopped by little setbacks.
Right.
They're not stopped by Heller and McDonald. They keep going. We cannot afford to stop. We need the 10 to 20 year
plan. And we
plan.
Have a history of doing that, too. Unfortunately, as soon as some quote-unquote Republican gets in office, we can sit back and relax. No, you can't.
No.
Because they're never relaxing.
That's exactly right. And they're going to advance their plan, and They're like a machine. They're like the Borg. Okay. They're like the Borg. They you know, they assimilate and they don't stop. And we are just volunteers, okay, but never underestimate and never doubt what the difference that one person can make, because the power of one is the power of many, because for every one person there are millions of us. And we have to speak with one voice. And let me tell you something, in the end, when we need to win hearts and minds, that is the master key. It's more than winning arguments. We need to win hearts and minds. Society bends to the will of the people.
Yeah.
That's a force of nature.
Yes.
And if we neglect, I mean, it's great to win elections. It's great to win legislative battles. That's all great. But there is a higher plane where there's a master key. And if you can touch that master key, everything in society will bend to it. During the Clinton years, we came dangerously close to tipping against us.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's the name of the game. And so.
And this guy makes Bill Clinton look like a rank amateur.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
How far do you think we're out with a right to carry in New Jersey, Scott? Would you give an
estimate? Before we get into that, we're coming up again on a hard break, but that's a great place to pick up on the other side. All right, we'll be right back.
This portion of Gun for Hire Radio is being brought to you by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's urban defense institute for over 30 years, with four state-of-the-art facilities in New Jersey, two of them just minutes from New York City and Philadelphia, offering indoor and outdoor training, moving and shooting, tactical weapons training, baton, handcuff, and mace, executive protection training and certification, multi-state CCW permits, and armed security and retired law enforcement qualifications. Gun for Hire Academy is equipped with a state-of-the-art FATS, Firearms Training Simulator, and is the only training facility in the world approved for civilian, force-on-force, simmunitions training. Whether you're a beginner who's never touched a gun or a seasoned professional looking to keep your skills sharp, you'll find something tailored just for you at Gun for Hire. Flying in from out of town? We'll pick you up at the airport. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Train where the pros do. Gun for Hire, America's Urban Defense Institute.
We're back. So the question was, Scott, how far do you think we are from a right to carry in New Jersey? I get that question 10 times a day.
Okay, here's the answer. Our carry case, okay, it's now July 2011. I think the earliest we could expect a U.S. Supreme Court decision, assuming two levels of appeal, would be the spring of 2000 or summer of 2013.
Okay? Wow.
If the Heller and McDonald pattern, where you're moving litigation as fast as possible, here's what's going to happen. Probably in the fall, we're going to have a decision from the lower level court. That's going to be appealed whichever way the decision is. It's then going to have to go to the middle appeals court. That's going to take 9 months or so. And then from that point, assuming it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, it could be submitted before the court as late as the end of 2012, or I'm sorry, as early as the end of 2012, in which case they'd probably render a decision like they did in Heller and McDonald by the summer of 2013. But it won't be over there, assuming we win. And if we don't win, we're going to have much larger problems because the Supreme Court would have validated New Jersey's insane carry laws.
And that has national implications.
That has national implications.
So we may be the first case post Heller and McDonald to be heard in the Supreme Court?
There are several pending. We may be the first. We were the last to file of all of them, but our lawyers are extremely crafty and tacticians, and they are moving the case along. It's taken over the pace of the other cases.
Now, being an entrepreneur and a business owner and always being the big fish in a small pond, you telling me 2 years out makes my skin crawl, because I can't wait for anything for 2 years. And I can't imagine the patience and fortitude that you have plotting and planning to go through this, knowing that we're not going to have an answer for 2 or 3 years. I want an answer now. The citizens of New Jersey want an answer now. And we have to wait. And then we don't know which way it's going to go, and we may lose the Supreme Court by then.
Well, let me make you feel worse, and then I'll make you feel better, okay? To make you feel worse, if what I'm saying happens, and that best case we have a U.S. Supreme Court decision by June or July of 2013, if we win that, at that point we're going to have to rewrite the state carry law. That could take another 6 months to a year till that happens. Okay,
and
now,
that's got to be voted on then?
Oh, yeah. It's got to be voted on in the Senate, the Assembly, and then the governor has to sign it.
So I should just keep my moving plans.
So really, we really need to vote this November. I mean,
the legislatures,
they need
to be
changed.
The legislatures, yes.
I mean, we need to vote this November, next November. I mean, really.
I can tell you that we have been working for years building our credibility. I mean, that's going to be the moment, and we're going to be ready for it. Okay, we're going to have the most clout we've ever had in the state at that point, and we're going to cash in on, figuratively speaking, on all the favors, okay, that we're owed, and we're going to be coming down on that one full bore. But to make you feel better, there are some national things that are going on that could intervene in the whole process. There's a national reciprocity carry bill that would force states like New Jersey to recognize.
That's A812.
You know, I don't know the bill number, but
Is in the Senate or the House?
Assembly.
No. I'm not talking about state. I'm talking about nationally.
Yeah, okay.
There's a national reciprocity bill that almost passed. It was short, just a couple of votes.
Correct.
And I know NRA headquarters is waiting for the right moment to attach it to a bill that is going to pass and will have to be signed by the president. And if that comes through in the next couple of years, it will force New Jersey to recognize out-of-state carry permits. So there is a little faint glimmer of hope on right to carry.
New Jersey will recognize out-of-state carry permits, but you won't be able to get a carry permit in the state you reside in.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Well, that's a good argument to now get a Florida and Utah and out-of-state carry permit, because it's probably going to be the only carry permit we have for quite a while, right?
It could be. Could well be.
Wow.
Wow. That is really 3 years, 4 years out, and that's if everything goes our way. I can't take it.
You got to take it.
Babe. I can't. Yeah. I can't take it. There's nothing else we can do, huh, Scott?
You can move.
We're talking about that all the time, though. I'm not voting with my feet. I like where I live. I like to go to diners 3 o'clock in the morning. I like my friends and my family and my kids around me.
And I'm looking for real estate out of state.
Well, look, let me just say this. We can't pass any bills right now. The reality as of July 2011 is the Assembly will not pass any pro-gun legislation. While the Senate won't pass any anti-gun legislation, it's a stretch getting anything pro-gun passed. And even if we did, we don't know what the governor would do. We have dialogued with governor's counsel over, you know, maybe through regulation, making things a little easier on right to carry. So far, those discussions have not borne any fruit. But, you know, there's no stone we're leaving unturned on trying
Understood.
To advance. I mean, our goal right now, the association's goal, is to, as fully and as quickly as possible, implement the Second Amendment in New Jersey post Heller and McDonald. That's our goal. That's our vision. That's what we're going to do. And, you know, we've never been myopic about how we're going to do it. We don't just pick one way. We work on multiple approaches in parallel, and we're continuing to do that.
Most of the time when Scott says we, it's actually him himself, to be honest. Like Atlas shrugged, it's on his shoulders,
well,
to be honest.
I appreciate you saying that, but you're a very important part of a much larger team, and I don't think any one of us can claim credit for the work of the team. It's a great team we have, and getting greater, and you know, we're going to continue to fight the fight all the way.
I want to say, Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I want to thank you for your relentless efforts for the Second Amendment in the state of New Jersey and surrounding states that, you know, get some of your benefits. And we're going to have you on the show again, and all of our listeners out there, please send in some questions, whatever you want Scott to discuss, or your frustrations, vent them out. Please do not throw eggs at his car. When he leaves the studio, I'll give you all his personal information and his cell phone number. No, I won't do that.
You can reach Scott through our website at talkback@gunforhireradio.com and at the association website.
ANJRPC.com. There also will be a link. Jose will post a link to the ANJRPC on the Friends page of Gun for Hire Radio.
Excellent.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you
so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We got 1 minute coming up. What's going on with Gun for Hire?
Oh, Gun for Hire. We have Urban Pistol. Last week we had a test drive. We had Pistol Level 2. The test drive we did last week, we had about 70 firearms out for people to touch and feel and shoot, and we're doing it again this weekend. We also have a big event coming up in Kentucky sponsored by Joe DeBurgolis, NRA board member, and I will be there all 3 days, August 26th, 27th, and 28th. Please visit the website ar15.com/rockcastle. I will be speaking more about this in the future, but Joe DeBurgolis is running this, and let me tell you something. It's going to be a huge event, and all the money is being raised. It's going to Wounded Warrior. It's going to Lone Survival Foundation, which is Marcus Luttrell, the Navy SEAL,
great,
who wrote the book Lone Survivor. I encourage you people, ar15.com/rockcastle. We'll be talking about it more in the future. We'll probably have Joe on the show to discuss it. And, of course, the South Jersey Rimfire Ruger match, August 20th, is on and growing. Getting talkbacks from that,
great,
too.
Good.
SJRimfire.com. And last and not least, people, I am sorry I did not get back to you on all of your talkbacks. I will answer them all, I guarantee you. Thank you for all of your support. Please go to our sponsors and thank them for our support also. They're standing up. They have the balls in New Jersey to stand up against the establishment and be a sponsor on Gun for Hire Radio. Tell them we sent you. Tell them you're happy with everything we're doing. Please support us.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. This episode of Gun for Hire Radio has been brought to you by The Bullet Hole, North Jersey's gun authority for over 25 years. By Lipstick Bodyguard, like having a personal bodyguard in your purse or pocket. By Evan Knappett, New Jersey's gun lawyer. And by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's Urban Defense Institute for over 30 years. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Radio production. Our online technical director and webmaster is Jose. Hey, who ate my chicharrones? Morales. Our art director is Matt, the Yo-Yo Man, Danchis. Our post-production engineer is John, who said there would be free beer, Massa. And our production assistant for this week's episode was Danielle, don't use my real name, Lawson. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, thanks for listening. And please, take a moment to rub it in the faces of all those anti-gun liberals, and give this episode an outstanding rating on iTunes and Zoom. See you next week.
This gun's for hire.